You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Thurrett. Coming up, we get the inside scoop on the little orchestra that could Pink Martini. First, this weekend, the Democratic National Committee met in Atlanta to elect new leadership. Former Labor Secretary Tom Perez beat U.S. Representative Keith Ellison from Minnesota in the election for DNC chair. The win was relatively narrow. The race was close enough to require a second round of balloting. This was the first contested race for DNC leadership since 1985. Perez will now help navigate thousands of state and local elections where the party hopes to reverse the many losses of the last 7 years. I want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think the Democratic Party needs to change? What do you see as the future of the party? How do you think Democrats will or won't come back from losses in 2010 and 2016? Call in now and share your thoughts and on that new leadership at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Jaime Regalado joins us now to talk about the election and the future of the Democratic Party. He's a professor emeritus of political science at California State University, Los Angeles. Jaime, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Let's start with the headline here. What do you make of the news that Tom Perez is the new DNC chair?
Well, in a sense, it's a replay of the divisions that we saw in the Democratic primary, but also carried through the general election for president, but not nearly as severe. Both Ellison and Perez have been progressive Democrats. Ellison with much more experience on the ground in the local communities and organizing. Perez, it was state government with federal government for a number of years during the Obama administration. He headed the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. He was kind of point man on voting rights and on targeting aggression against minorities on the part of state and local governments. So he's been around. He's a progressive. He wasn't the favorite candidate of the progressive of DNC, but nevertheless he won. And now that he has appointed Ellison to be his chief deputy, it looks like some of the discord has been smoothed over.
Right, a lot of the media attention here, and you know, some of what we've heard from Democratic activists on this made this out as a mainstream, more centrist against a progressive Bernie Sanders insurgent sort of contest. Was that a fair characterization?
Not entirely fair. They're looking at who was backing whom. And, of course, if you want to look at the institutional candidate who was being backed by the Clintons but also by Obama, then that's Tom Perez. There's no question about that. But what they're not looking is at what Tom has been over the years, both in the Justice Department, at the state level before that, and as head of the Department of Labor. He has a very, very close relationship with labor, still a weakened pillar, but a pillar nonetheless. Of the Democratic Party and of the left.
I got to say, I mean, no contested effort for the DNC chief since they were saying 1985. Even when there's a Republican contest, like when Reince Priebus from Wisconsin became the RNC chair, there was a competition. I can't remember that much attention being paid to it. It seems like there's more focus on this one. Am I right? And if so, why?
You're right. Because of the devastating loss that Democrats suffered last year in the rise of Trump. But it's not simply that. I mean, that's a lot to chew on. But also, there's been a neglect of the state and local Democratic Party machinery to the extent that the Republicans have been very, very smart and not just aiming for national prizes, but also for state and local prizes as well. So I think a lot of things came to a boiling head this year in the run for the DNC chair because there are so many more disgruntled Democrats and the party is horribly divided, has been horribly divided between its left and its center. So now is the time to look at all of those things, and hence you get a contested primary, a contested race for the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I want to lay out the case here in Wisconsin. Some people argued as long as 10, 12 years ago that the Democratic Party in Wisconsin was sort of more of a fictional construct. A lot of the work was done by teachers' unions, other unions, public employee unions in particular. And now, after changes here in Wisconsin, those public employee unions and the private unions, because of right to work, less powerful, less money to throw into campaigns, the Democrats really have nothing to work with. Is that something you see happening in other states around the country, the Democrats not really having their own viable organization?
It's tough. There's no question labor's been on the wane for some time, but not in and of itself. In other words, it's not entirely labor's fault. It has been a focus of the right wing, of Republicans who have been anxious to weaken institutions within the Democratic Party, and none stood taller or more powerful than labor over the years. So they did a really good job in whittling away at the power of the private sector unions. But the public sector unions have grown over the years, have become very politically powerful, and the mainstay of the political campaigning of the Democratic Party. And so they became a target with a lot of different kind of measures that have had 50-state strategies on the part of conservatives, Grover Norquist and others, and called paycheck protection actions that would threaten to weaken public sector unions by asking their members to have written consent, or the unions to have written consent of the members each and every year for spending any dollar of their dollars on political purposes. It's one of the ways of saying that public sector unions are also and especially in the target sights of those who don't like the Democratic Party and don't like this lasting institutional pillar. What it means for Democrats is that they also have to look elsewhere. They're still going to have unions to play with in California. Public sector unions are still very, very strong as they are elsewhere, but they're weakening. So they need allies elsewhere, and institutional allies, as well as the bodies, the individuals and communities that make up perhaps the new majority over the coming 5 to 10 years.
Jaime Regalado is with us from California State University, Los Angeles, looking at the change in leadership in the Democratic National Committee, a vote this weekend. Tom Perez, a former labor secretary, won that post. Not everybody in the Democratic Party happy with that. Jaime, so one of the concerns from, you know, if we can call it the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party, just to oversimplify vastly there, but the idea that the Clintons, Bill and Hillary, too comfortable with Wall Street as a source of funding, spending too much time with national fundraising, taking the party away from grassroots organizing, building up state organizations, local level fundraising. Is that a fair critique of the Democratic Party?
It's a legitimate concern. And Tom Perez is going to have his work cut out for him. But the fact that he has Ralph Ellison, the invisible man, is not there.
Keith Ellison.
It is Keith Ellison. The fact that he has Keith on board as well, and it's going to be interesting to see what latitude he kind of gives Keith to be a player as well within the DNC. But it's the pressure is really on Tom in terms of a careful balancing act of keeping some of those funders in line, given what we said about the lack of institutional powers outside of labor within the Democratic Party. They can use Bernie's approach much more frequently than they have in the past to go after individual donors at all levels, at all levels. And impartially offset that, but it's a fair criticism because that's been where the Democratic Party has been in the past. But this era that we're entering, this Trump era beyond, is like no recent era that we've seen. And the Democrats are fighting to survive. So he's going to have to make good on his pledges to restart the engine, the Democratic Party engine, at the local and state levels to make sure that they're strong, they're going to be competitive, especially for the midterm elections in 2018, win some of those governorships back, win some of the legislators back, so that they have a better than even chance, or at least an even chance, when the next round of redistricting comes around as well. That's going to be pivotal. So, it's a fair criticism. Let's see what Perez does. The first, second, and third priorities he's going to have. He's going to have to roll out. And so let's say the proof will be in the pudding. But he's going to have to live with part of that criticism as well, though.
President Obama, when he won the general elections two times in a row, he had this Organizing for America group. People gave it a lot of props for high tech, you know, really using social media and phones and apps and things like that to organize voters, and getting a lot of organizers out in the field. And we've been seeing reports of Democratic Party activists at the state level around the country saying, yeah, so what? It didn't help us much at all in the following elections. We've lost both houses of Congress, as you mentioned, governorship, state legislatures. Was there a failure to communicate there between Organizing for America and the Democratic Party?
It was huge. It was huge. They had television focusing on the presidential campaigns, focusing on Washington, but starting with the president and leaving alone to kind of slide under the radar to the dire benefit or the lack of benefit to the Democratic Party, the state structures, the local party structures that have withered. Withered by what? Withered by comparison with Republican strategists understanding they needed to work and to win at state and local levels, but especially the state levels. So it was a poor strategy by the Democrats, and one that they're living with right now. They're not in control of redistricting. They're not in they're in control of only about a third of the state houses in the country. They control, you know, and the chances are they're going to control even less before they start to turn the ship around. So it was tunnel vision, focused on the presidency and not focused on where it really counts, building the legs, building the mortar in the states that would give rise to a strong Democratic Party.
Jaime Regalado is with us from California State University, Los Angeles, looking at the election this weekend for new Democratic National Committee leadership. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What would you like to see from new Democratic Party leadership? How would you like to see the party change? Do you think Democrats can come together and unify after the divisions over Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in the 2016 presidential primary? Love to hear from you, whether you're looking at this from the inside out as a Democrat or from the outside in as an independent or Republican. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about this weekend's Democratic National Committee three-day meeting and the election of new leadership. Jaime Regalado is with us, political science professor emeritus from California State University, Los Angeles. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your prescription for the Democratic Party after some years of losing in a lot of elections, apart from the presidential level for a couple elections there, but not in 2016? What do you think the party would need to do to rebuild? What would you like to see happen on the local, state, and national levels? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Here's a listen to new DNC Chair Tom Perez giving his acceptance speech.
We need to make house calls. We need to listen to people. We need to get back to basics, and we need to move forward, because I am confident, my friends, I am confident that when we lead with our values and lead with our actions, we succeed. That is what the Democratic Party has always been about, and that is what we will continue to be about. When we communicate our message of inclusion and opportunity for everyone, the big tent that we are. That is our strength, my friends. And when we have these conversations, sometimes spirited, sometimes difficult, that's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength as a party. And that's what we will continue to do.
To quote, what was the Will Rogers quote? I don't belong to an organized political party. I'm a Democrat. Is Tom Perez embracing that attitude?
He kind of is. He kind of is. Let's be frank about the role of the party chair, though, what that person is really supposed to do in terms of his main roles. One is to raise funds. How is he going to go about that, especially with the criticism that the Democratic Party has been too close to Wall Street financiers, et cetera? Is he going to push more of a Bernie type of movement to focus on the smaller donors, but many more of them? So that remains to be seen, but fundraising is one of the chief roles of that office. Recruiting candidates to run is going to be another one, and then representing the party in the media is a third. Recruiting candidates speaks of the grassroots. And that's where the Democrats have been very, very weak in during Obama's years in the White House. The focus has been so steadily on the national level that they let go of building a bench and or raising a bench and raising candidate profiles and candidates whose butts will warm those benches to run for office at local level, city councils, school boards, even community college boards, but also to the state legislature. And that is probably most important, to have a bench and to have candidates who can be competitive. But that hasn't really been grown. And so that's going to have to be a brand new thing, a brand new venture, where a lot of the attention of this new administration of Perez as well as Ellison is going to have to be moving.
Let's bring on a caller now. James is with us in Mauston. James, hi.
Hi. To go along with the bench analogy, how do you see the DNC growing that bench up to be more inclusive? And then also a second question, how do you see the DNC focusing towards more of the general broader millennial generation?
James, thanks for the call. Jaime, inclusiveness in general and toward millennials in particular.
Yeah, well, I mean, that speaks to a local and state strategy of getting to know the local players, the local leaders in the Democratic Party who can help you identify those who they think are going to emerge in a variety of communities to make it much more diverse and inclusive. And the locals know best. They just haven't been paid much attention to over the past 7 to 8 years. So I think it's one of the ways to do it. There is talent out there. They are Democrats. They're left-leaning independents that can be swayed to run for the Democratic Party if they feel there's a future in that party and it's open to their candidacies. So I think all this is very important. And what it means is the administration, the top levels of the administration of the DNC now, are going to have to, with their staffs, spend a whole lot of time on the road and talk to those local leaders, meet those emerging candidates, visit various communities, communities of color, working class communities, middle class communities, and so on. And that's going to amount to a lot of time, a lot of time they're going to have to spend. And from what Perez is sounding like and what Ellison has sounded like continuously is that they're going to be able to do that. So we'll wait and see. I forget the second part of the question.
Millennials in particular?
Yeah, and that's crucial. That vote is crucial. Most of the Democratic vote in the primary among millennials went to Bernie. Many of those, some of those stayed home for the general election, but more voted for the third and fourth party candidates. Very, very few went over to Trump, so the danger was not going over to Trump. The prescription is to try to get them back and understand the Democratic Party's under new leadership now. It understands the importance not only of millennials, but of progressive of all walks and shades in different communities around the country. And they need him to run to engage in this battle, a battle unlike we've seen in the United States for years and years and years.
Thanks for the call, James. We're talking to Jaime Regalado from California State University, Los Angeles, about a possible new direction for the Democratic Party. We go next to Dave in the UP of Michigan. Dave, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
I'm a registered Democrat that voted for Trump and plan on switching parties, and I know other people have already done the same thing. There were a lot of Democrats that voted for Trump because I don't believe the Democrat Party represents anything I believe anymore. The issues they seem to be focused on are just bizarre to a lot of us. And, I don't think the party is run by everyday Democrats anymore and what they represent.
And, Dave, briefly, what issues do you think they've left you behind on?
Well, I think most people, the reason Trump won, because a lot of working class people like me want to see jobs come back to America that have left this country. I didn't hear anything about that in the last couple of years. A lot of people in Pennsylvania, Michigan, I'm from Michigan, mm-hmm. and Wisconsin that are working class Democrats voted for Trump because of that.
I gotcha, Dave. Thanks a lot. And Jaime, that was a big part of the story in Wisconsin. I've seen the numbers. A lot of traditional Republicans voted for Trump. A lot of traditional Democrats voted for Clinton. And then there were a lot of counties that switched from Obama wins to Trump wins, I think partly based on voters like Dave. What do you think about the Democratic Party's thinking on that?
Well, it's a real issue that is only now being talked seriously about, and that is the messaging wasn't there. And if it was there, the few times it was there during the primary and general election campaign, there was not much emphasis put behind it. That means the economy and jobs. What are you going to do about those left behind, those who the global economy is harming? What are we going to do about them? And so at least the new leadership is talking about that. It remains to be seen how they roll that out, what they roll out. But they're going to have to underscore that lesson. I know a lot of Democrats did vote for Trump. A lot of union members, and this is the consternation of labor right now, how to get their union members back, voted for Trump. And so it became a big issue, a huge issue, and for the reasons that this caller just now mentioned. And that is that where were the Democrats talking about those issues, talking about the pain of the working class in the Midwestern states? It was a huge falling and a failing, I should say, and I think the new leadership understands that. Now, how I'll go about changing that is going to be a little bit difficult, but they're going to have to try hard.
Bring on one more caller, Teddy in Kewaskum. Teddy, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
Yes. What I think the Democrats are not aggressive enough, you know, to really promote their agenda. You know, if you look at what the Republicans are selling right now, they are really selling nothing. Mm-hmm. Besides repealing and taking the country back, you know.
Teddy, we're just about out of time, but briefly, Jaime, I mean, the Clinton campaign was critiqued, Democrats in general, too much anti-Trump, not enough pro-something in the election.
Not enough pro-policy. You have tigers in control of the Democratic National Committee now. I've never heard that before, tigers in the leadership. Tigers for what? For change, for progressive change, for talking about issues that resonate among the working class, which is supposed to be a bedrock constituency of the Democratic Party. They need to regain part of that back, but they need to have a selling moment, something that workers understand.
Thanks a lot for the call, Teddy and Dave. Jaime, thanks a lot for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That was Jaime Regalado. He's a professor emeritus of political science at California State University, Los Angeles. He was with us to talk about this weekend's meeting of the Democratic National Committee at Atlanta and the election of new leadership and whether or not that can help heal some of the divides in the Democratic Party. Still time for you to share your thoughts, by the way. You can head over and join the discussion on the Central Time Facebook page, or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. Or again, the Central Time Facebook page, share your thoughts, read a little extra there.